Hello, confidants. Welcome back to another episode of Confidently Insecure, the podcast where we are absolutely sure we don't know everything. And even though every week I say like, wow, we really don't know anything about this, like this is truly a episode that I would have no way to know anything about because it's all about turning 30. Woo. And if you're wondering who that woo just came from, it came from this week's guest, which is my partner in life, boyfriend, DJ Le Cap Slap DJ, Jared Lucas. Thanks for being here, babe.
Well, thanks for having me.
You do live here, so.
I do live here.
You're here all the time.
It was a long journey to get to this couch.
Yeah?
Here I am.
All the way from your Call of Duty chair.
Yes.
Call of Duty. Hey, the only connection I have to being 30 really on a day-to-day basis is because you're 30.
That's a good point. I am 30.
When did that happen?
October 4th, I turned 30. It was October 4th of 2019.
And I figured have a 30-year-old on because I'm about to turn the big dirty 30.
How are you feeling about that?
I'm glad you asked because that's what this entire episode is about. We're going to go through it all.
Great.
The date when this comes out will be August 3rd.
Ooh.
And that will be 13 days left that I have. My birthday, for everyone that absolutely needs to know, which is everybody, my birthday is August 16th. Last year, I was in Europe alone for my 29th birthday, and it was like life-changing and amazing. And this year we had all these plans to do like a big dirty 30. We put so much pressure on the 30th birthday. We were gonna go to Burning Man because last year we didn't get to go, and it was supposed to be this big thing, and then COVID happened, and I've watched like 100 other of my friends have their 30th birthdays just like at a park or on Zoom. And I'd be lying if I didn't say I was bummed, because I think I feel like I mean, all the COVID stuff aside, right? Like, don't judge me. This is me being vulnerable. Besides all the COVID stuff aside, I feel like I'm missing out on a thing that everyone else got to have a little bit. And like, there's this weird group of us that are gonna like always remember that it was like womp womp. But then in a way, I was like, I'll never forget it because it happened during the big pandemic COVID-y situation. So it's like I'll always remember 2020, I was 30, and this happened. So
it's pretty special.
What, the COVID or the birthday?
Well, everything about it. I mean, having a 30th birthday during COVID in 2020, like, I don't know, numerology and fun shit there. I don't know. Cool.
Yeah, I'm sure there's someone out there being like, this is good luck. Speaking of witchy shit, I want to acknowledge that it is Leo season.
Ooh.
My fucking time to shine. And I wanted to give a little Leo season reading of what to expect. Leo season goes from like July 26th to August 23rd, I think, if my numbers are correct. So here it is. Here's your 2020 Leo season reading.
Oh, I'm ready.
That was me playing a harp. And I just farted. Okay. As you might expect, this year's Leo season is different from other summers past. We are in the midst of a pandemic and fighting racial injustice through Black Lives Matter movement. Bold fire sign energy is just what we need to take charge and shamelessly be our true selves. This sign is all about action and can inspire even the most timid of us to fight for what we believe in. If you've been watching and supporting the ongoing protest against racism but haven't yet attended one, maybe now time is the perfect time to do so if you can do it safely. Remember, even if you're not a Leo, we all feel the effects of a lion's solar energy. Embrace it. I don't really know if that was like a prediction so much as just like shit we already fucking knew. Like, it didn't tell me anything new. But I like CoStar. The app CoStar gives me my like Leo season updates, and like, you know, it always is right. It's just always right.
Are you checking your CoStar every day?
Yeah, are you?
Not every day, but sometimes I do.
I get a notification.
You get a notification that I checked my CoStar?
No.
Oh, I was like, damn, what kind of fucking shit are you
but
got set up?
You did not like believe in CoStar and astrology and all this shit even like a year ago.
Well, I still don't really do, but you never know. I mean,
why do you read it?
I think it's fun. I think it's okay. A fun thing to do. I think it's fun if you put your mindset into it and you're
like this thing, fucking Libra.
This thing is right? And then you open it up and you're like, wow, like it is right, you know? And it's like you really get your mindset in there.
Then
it's great.
Or, for example, I'm going to use an example. This was not planned, but I'm going to just fucking say it. Maybe it was two nights ago. We were sitting at the table. We're not going to say the names of who because it's not public yet. But some people we know got engaged.
Oh yeah.
And we like talked about it. And we're like, oh my god, love all these people. And then I brought up us getting engaged, and you literally went, "We're going to take it a day at a time." And then my co-star popped up and it said, "You can't force someone to love you."
What? That's hilarious.
And I was like, first of all, I don't even ever fucking talk about that. That's not like a thing that I'm like, it's not like a priority for me. So when I did bring it up and I got like immediately shut down, I was a little hurt. And I could have harped on that and I could have been like, why don't you really talk about it? And instead, my co-star bleeped at me and I was like, yeah, who cares? I can't force someone to, it's not like I can't force that. The conversation to happen.
Well, okay, so that's a little extreme.
Is it extreme?
It's a little extreme.
Go
First
on.
Off, I do love you, so
I know
you
that.
Don't need to force me to love you.
I
that's
know
happening
that.
Already. The whole idea about marriage is one that is, yeah, it's a fun conversation, I guess. But I for me, especially with COVID season, especially with your birthday coming up, especially with all these different things. I'd like to just take things one day at a time.
But what does COVID have to do with the future of being engaged?
It's just a lot of stuff going on. I don't know.
He's planning my birthday and he won't tell me a single thing about it.
I think I'm doing pretty decently compared to the previous anything else I've tried to plan.
You've never
for surprises
been able to surprise
has
me.
Been ruined.
Yes.
Like.
Because I
way
find
in advance.
Out. Yeah.
She's just extremely, she just knows how to get information.
And
out
we're
of me.
13 days away, and you have not slipped up once, except for I did see accidentally a text message pop up from two friends of mine, which, like, you would never normally be texting. Shout out to Zach, shout out to Moosey. And I saw it because I had to take your phone because I was on a conference call and I needed your phone. And I just didn't even think too much into it. And I didn't, you were trying to surprise me. Because I surprised you for your 30th birthday in October. Yeah. But I don't think you care so much about surprises. Like, I don't know that you care.
I love surprises. I think it's fun. Yeah. I think it's a fun time. I don't get overly anxious about surprises.
I do.
Yeah.
Like me.
Yeah. You have.
I hate not having control or not knowing what's going on.
Yeah.
It's very hard for me to go with the flow.
Yeah, I'm a go with the flow kind of guy.
I know, just because you're Libra. I also like your shirt, by the way.
Thank you.
We made these together, these tie-dye shirts, and I have a matching
one. It looks great.
It looks great. It looks like fire.
I've actually got compliments from this just outside of...
Look at that.
In the public.
I'm also dressed this way, which is in bright gold glitter biker shorts and a... sort of tie-dye black and white sports bra and sweaty and stinky because I've been working on the RV that we purchased.
Yep, yep.
That I purchased, but we share because we also share. Oh my God, we'll get into that. But I bought an RV, you guys, for $11,700 so that we can continue to make our Justice for Soraya documentary. For those of you who have been keeping up, I'm not going to go through the entire thing. Just look at the hashtag. Most of you already know what it is, but we've now, from the last time we recorded, last week with Steph, we were at like 363,000 signatures. I think we're at $26,000 that we raised for the GoFundMe.
Wow.
And we are making some noise. We've got production meetings. We've got like companies interested in it. Did you just yawn right on my fucking podcast in my face?
I'm
talking about like my passion project? Holy fucking shit. What a 30-year-old thing to do.
It's late. I'm
Yes, it is late. You are doing
Keep
me a
going.
Favor. I love you. So that's the update on that is that we bought an RV and it's very exciting. It's like my new project that I'm seeing as not only an investment in obviously this documentary, but like for COVID, we can't travel anyway. So for me, it's like, oh, okay, I'll put an investment into this. And what I would normally spend like $1,000 on like a week long vacation, instead I'll put into this now. And then we can like drive the RV up to like the mountains or like the national forest, which we've never done, all this stuff. So it feels good. It is the biggest adult purchase of my entire life. I've never spent that much money. And I know maybe some people are weirded out by that because they think like YouTubers and digital people make money. I don't have that kind of money. So that was a big purchase for you, girl. And it feels very adult and I'm very scared and I like it. So there you go. That's that update housekeeping notice. And now, can I have like a drum roll or something exciting? Thank you. For my confidant earballs only to hear before anybody else.
Whoa.
My book. Don't fucking panic. The shit they don't tell you in therapy about anxiety, panic, and depression by Kelsey Darragh will be available for pre-order on August 16th,
whoa,
my 30th fucking birthday.
Fireworks.
Sounds like a fuse box. That's really fucking, like, you guys, it's been like a year and a half in the making. I mean, I don't know if you felt the effect of me writing this book, but it's at almost 400 pages now.
Wow, is it really?
Yes, but I think with like the format and stuff, it will be a lot less, but it's just like, I cannot tell you the relief now when I wake up in the morning and I come down to my desk and I'm not like,
you were stressed out about that.
Oh
for
my
a long
God.
Time.
And like, I don't even know if it's good. I have no idea if it's even good at this point, but you guys, it's going to be available for pre-order. Obviously, everything's going to have to be done digitally. Like, you're going to have to get it from Amazon. You're going to have to get it online. Like, you're going to have to buy it from Thought Catalog. I'm sorry. My dreams
do it up.
To have like my book get on the all. Shelf of a bookstore is going to have to be on hold. My book tour is going to have to be on hold. All of that stuff. But I'm really, really excited. And one of my witchy friends told me that she predicts that the initial outlet of it will be slow. But then it will change my life. So I'm hoping that maybe we could prove a bitch wrong and say, fuck it, let's get all the orders out the very first day. It's for pre-order. So mark it in your calendars, August 16th, which I believe is a Sunday, for Don't Fucking Panic.
Hell
that
yeah.
That is an exclusive right here, right now, just for my confidants.
Wow. I feel honored to be a part of that.
Yeah?
Thanks for having me here.
You're welcome. I thought you meant a part of the book. I was like, yeah, you're all over it. Are you scared at all about what I've written?
No, I think, I mean, should I be scared? Are there things
you
that I should be
scared about? You haven't
written
it. Read it.
Yeah, I'm excited to read it. I'm ready to get reading.
No, you shouldn't be scared.
That's good.
I don't think. No, you shouldn't be scared.
Oh, jeez. Oh,
no,
man.
You know everything.
Now I'm getting scared.
No, okay. You know everything. okay, now let's get to the nitty gritty confidants, why we are here. We are talking about turning 30.
Wow.
The pros, the cons. Let's get into it. You're 30. I'm 29. How was turning 30 for you?
It wasn't that huge of a deal, actually, for me. I didn't really feel that much different.
Mm-hmm.
But when I look at myself at 30 compared to when I look at myself at 20, that's a massive difference.
You can't even compare the two people.
Yeah. So then when I say my 20s, and my 30s, it's going to be a massive difference.
Yeah.
So at the moment that I turned 30, not a huge deal. But I think when I look back on my 30th mm-hmm. birthday, and like, oh, like that time period was when I like made some significant changes in my life of some sort.
The day of your birthday, what did we do?
Weren't we on the cruise?
Yeah, but what did we do? I had t-shirts made that said Caps Lock 30-30 with you eating
great.
A banana. Everything
banana
was banana fan. Themed.
Oh, yeah.
We had like 15 of your best friends from all over the country fly in to surprise you, and I blindfolded you and put you in a car and drove you to the port and just open your eyes and we were on a boat.
We were on a boat.
We were in front of a boat.
Yeah.
I couldn't get you on with your eyes closed. That would be super illegal.
Yeah.
I drank my 20s away completely. I'm at over 400 days now sober, and I look back a lot at my 20s and like hear stories from people, and I'm like, what? You told me that? When did that happen? Like, I feel fulfilled. Like, I feel like I did my fucking door. Like, I truly am exhausted thinking about it. But I used to say this thing, like, when I was younger, that I thought 30 was so old. And I would always say, and I don't know why, but I would always say, like, I'm gonna die before I turn 30.
Wow.
Or like, I wanted to die before 30 because I didn't think there was anything left afterwards.
Oh man.
And like, how dramatic and how like, I don't know, the fact that I just thought everything happened before you turn 30 is like fucking hysterical, because it's literally the opposite.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like the day I turn 30, my life will begin.
I mean, you have so much stuff that you've got like lined up for the future. And like, it seems to me as if like you're finding a lot more like purpose and passion as things move forward. So I can only imagine like what 30s are going to be like for you.
And it makes me, if I think about it, I'll cry. So I'm not going to think about it too much.
Do it.
But it makes me, thanks, babe. It makes me so sad to think about young kids who took their own lives or died by suicide, not knowing how much of their life was ahead of them. And like, I feel very guilty for saying that stuff. Like, even if it was a joke, it was just like bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. But I feel very sad because now that I'm almost there, I'm like, oh man, fuck. Like, oh, everyone deserves to be able to turn 30, I feel like, is just what I hope for the world. Okay.
I love that.
Here are the pros and cons. We're going to go through some pros and cons, okay?
All right, let's do it.
Pro of turning 30. I feel like everyone is going to take me seriously now. Like, I know what I want. And I get out of my way a lot more easily than I ever have before. Doesn't mean I'm perfect. Doesn't mean I'm at the highest point in my career. But I do feel like I know what I want, who I am. Like, business-wise, I feel like I'll go into a room and like, now I'm 30. So now you have to take my ideas seriously. As before, like, I had the, I mean, I still have imposter syndrome, but it was like, crippling imposter syndrome being so young in a position of business that I dealt with a lot of older people, like in Hollywood. Like, every meeting I went into, I was the youngest person in the room easily for a very long time. But now I'm 30, and so now I know. I don't know what I know, but I know. You know?
I know.
Yeah. But a con. Now, instead of a 29-year-old, I'm a 30-year-old who's obsessed with TikTok. Is that bad? Is that bad?
Is that bad?
Is that bad that I'm a 30-year-old?
Can I pet that dog?
Can I pet that dog? Like, is it bad that I spend as many hours as I do perusing TikTok as a 30? Because when I think about, like, a 40-year-old who's on TikTok, I'm like, go to work, you creep. Get the fuck off this kid app and go to work. And like, I know it's not like that, but is it bad that I'm going to be a 30-year-old who's so obsessed with TikTok?
I feel like there are a lot of TikToks from people in their like mid-30s and 40s like doing things, like millennials, right? I feel like millennials are into this stuff.
It's so weird millennials are 30 now.
But that's what the thing is now. It's like, we're not Gen X, we're millennials.
And or Gen Z, yeah.
All millennials are now 30, so we're moving everything in this direction.
And I think it means I'm keeping my fingers on the pulse of what's happening.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, at first I didn't get TikTok when it was still Musical.ly. I was like, I fucking hate this shit and I don't get it and I don't like little kids lip syncing at me. But now that it's comedy and like life and knowledge based, I swear to God, I say this all the time, I learned more on TikTok than I ever did in high school. Mm-hmm. So much more about culture and family and language and blah, 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 blah. All about the world.
What are you going to do when Trump makes it illegal?
He's not going to make it illegal. Ooh. Microsoft is going to buy it before. Okay, moving on. Pro. Being 30 doesn't bring as much change as you'd expect because all of your other friends have turned 30 already too. Mm-hmm. And I think that's maybe kind of talking about what you were talking about, where it's like the actual day of, it's like we had friends that were like 35 with us. Like, I think I'm probably still always the youngest in our, oh no, Cantor is a month after me, motherfucker. our good friend. But I think it's not as dramatic as everyone thinks it's going to be, because everyone else is, it's also happening to everyone else in your life. And I'm someone who's always been friends with older kids. Like, all my girlfriends are in their late 30s, my cooter club, and like, I don't really keep in touch with people from back home. Like, my sister's older than me, my best friend's a couple years older than me. Like, I guess I've been preparing for this for a long time. You know, like, it's not as big of a deal.
Yeah, I think it's, we always think of our 30s in terms, like, the vision that we have of our 30s is when we're teenagers or whatever it is.
And it's like, so patriarchal and old school. Yeah. Like, you should be married and have a house and, like, thinking about kids, and you should be having a career and, like, and it's like, that's so outdated. Yeah. It feels so outdated to think of 30 as that benchmark.
30 is the new 20.
That's a book and an episode we did. Yeah, it's a book. Oh. You should read it. It's about not wasting your 20s. It's like, we give 20-year-olds all of the space. It was like one of the first episodes I did of this podcast.
Shit.
Hannah Hart, go look it up. Cons of turning 30, I have to say goodbye to ever being able to play a high schooler in a TV for a show, for sure. Maybe even a college student. I always just thought, for some reason, I was going to be on like a Riverdale show where I'd be this hot high schooler. And I really think I've missed it. Oh, man. I really think I've lost my chance at being that hot teen high school actor.
I mean, A, you never know.
Okay.
But B, maybe some dreams just, you know, can die. Like, there's just so many other cool things that you're doing with your life.
That, like what? Name one.
I don't have to go through and name your whole life right now. But you are an incredible person doing incredible things. And you playing a high schooler on a TV show, to me, would kind of like...
not look right because I look old.
No. I would say, like, take away from like the power of like what you're doing.
So you do think I should be play college more? Right, exactly. More wise, refined.
No, I don't know. I just like the documentary stuff and the things that you're doing with mental health and the book and all, like, you're doing these amazing things, and it's like, oh, I'm just going to be a high schooler on a TV show now.
I agree.
Like,
college and young mother. I could do young mother, I think. Not like teen mom, but young mom. Young mom who had a baby out of wedlock, and now she's down on her luck. And she wants to be a fashion designer, and she realizes she's a lesbian, and she moves to New York City with her kid. And it's like Gossip Girl if Blake Lively never ended up with Dan, and that is probably my next role.
All right, screenwriters, take notes here.
My next role, casting, meaning my first TV leading role. Speaking of leading TV roles, I want to tell you guys about BetterHelp, okay? What is interfering with your happiness? Is something preventing you from achieving your goals? We're talking about being 30, okay? Personal experience, honey. For me, I was always getting in my own way. And you know what helped stop that? Going to therapy. You know that I preach it from the mountaintops, baby confidants, that everyone should be able to access affordable therapy, and that is what BetterHelp is. You can start communicating with a therapist in under 24 hours. Best part is you can send your message to a counselor at any time. I type shit right before I go to sleep. I type stuff. Sometimes we have meetings at 7:30 in the morning. I can always book like a last minute appointment. Shout out to my therapist, Kim. Love you, girl. And BetterHelp is committed to facilitating therapeutic matches that are great. So you never have to wonder like, should I or shouldn't I stay with this therapist? Because they make it super easy to change therapists if you're unhappy. I always say it's like Tinder. You can just swipe left, swipe right all day. One day, I think I went through like 6 matches trying to find our couple's therapist because I was just like, I don't like any of these people, not for any particular reason. nothing personal, but I just don't like your face. And you know that these counselors can help with specialized areas such as depression, stress, anxiety, relationships, sleeping, trauma, self-esteem, grief, LGBT matters, anger, and family conflicts. Don't forget, anything you share is confidential, convenient, and professional, but most importantly, affordable. So many people have been using BetterHelp that they are actually recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. And I want you to start living a happier life today. And as a listener, you will get 10% off your first month by visiting BetterHelp.com/CI. Join over 1 million people taking charge of their mental health. Again, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/CI. Back to the list.
Do people spell BetterHelp wrong?
You know, I don't ask the questions. I just amplify the message, baby. I just amplify the message. Better health. Maybe people think it's better health.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. Boom. Just solved it.
Nice.
Here's a pro turning 30. My mom, who's my favorite person in the world, tells me that she loves getting older and that 30s were her favorite time of her life.
Nice.
And she even says, like, to this, that was the most fun chunk of, like, change and like, growth. But she still every day loves getting older at the age she is at. Like, she does not think young was fun.
It's badass.
Yeah.
Good for her. I feel like she, like, knows herself and, like, is really, like...
Yeah, and this world is so ageist.
Yeah.
We don't give any opportunities to anyone over 30. For women.
Okay.
It's like, she's dried up, she's used, she's not hot, her skin's sagging, her pussy's getting...
That's a good point. It is rough for women.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, always say men get hotter, like, yeah. George Clooney gets... And then, like, women, it's like, who do we have...
Oh.
Exactly.
It's rough.
Because all the women in Hollywood get all...
Halle Berry.
Halle Berry is gorgeous. That's a very good point. But I do believe she probably uses a lot of her money to get facials and such.
That's a good point.
I don't know if she's had plastic surgery. But that's the thing. It's like, we just don't have those people actively in front of us in advertisements or movies or anything. It's like...
Sad.
Yes, but the con to turning 30... And this is a pro slash con, so don't come for me, okay? Confidants, you know I like feeling vulnerable here. This year, I've seen it during COVID that I've got eye wrinkles.
Little crow's feet.
Little crow's feet. And I never had those before. And like some people be like, it's because you smile so much. And I'm like, or it's the debilitating stress and pollution in the Los Angeles air. And my eyes can't read my computer screen anymore. So I'm squinting all the time and I get a headache. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe instead of smiling so much. But I don't know what that means. We're told that like wrinkles are bad. Get rid of them. But I will say that, like, I don't like the way my makeup sets in them. And I also think my eyelids are starting to, like, sag over my eyes. Like, sunshades for its, like, they're making their own sunglasses for themselves.
That's sad to me because, like, you're beautiful. And I love everything that's going on here. I've never noticed any of that you're saying. You're just picking these things out. And, like, truly, I have zero... I still, like, I don't even see, like, I see, like, a line or two. That's, like, a normal thing that people have on their face.
I seriously can't even see anything except for the wrinkles you're talking about. Like... But here's the thing. You've got big, big smile eye lines.
Yeah.
But that's, like...
Living my fucking life.
I love your face like that.
Thank you.
You've always had that.
I think culture and society makes it really sad. It's a sad thing for women that they have
you
to,
you came with me once to get Botox.
Yeah.
Well, I went because I was in pain. But then while I was there, I was like, go ahead and just, like... Throw in a little, you know, a little up top.
Yep.
And you almost had a fucking meltdown. My plastic surgeon, who's also like a pain relief doctor for me, felt so bad that he like wasn't going to inject me because you were protesting so much. And I was like, Jared, leave the room if you're going to fucking comment like that. Like, you're making him feel bad about his job. Like... Shut up.
I know.
And then later you were like, I'm sorry, I shouldn't tell you what to do with your body. I just don't like it when you do this thing. And I was like, it's not for you.
I know. It's for society.
No.
It's fucked up.
It's for me.
This society fucking sucks.
No, but it's you. Yeah, you did. Something came out of you in that room that day that I didn't know existed in you.
I just didn't get it. It's your body. You do what you want with it.
But what I understand your frustration is like you don't want me pumping chemical into my face because you love my face.
Well, it makes me sad to think that you have to do these things in order to like feel good about how you look. And
but if you. Your hair grew in front of your eyes and you couldn't see. And so you just went and got a haircut and you were like, wow, this just makes it all better. Do you feel bad about yourself?
No, of course not.
I think for us too, it's like things like that. Cosmetic procedures have just been so normalized, whether it's fortunately or unfortunately. Like I know people are like, just accept the skin you live in. Confidants, sober girlies, are you looking to cut back or cut out alcohol this year? Come on, join me and Zach on our sober journeys. Recess Zero Proof craft mocktails are the perfect alcohol replacement. We've recreated the cocktails you know and love, like a lime margarita and a grapefruit paloma, so you can enjoy the flavors and feelings of those cocktails without the booze. That's right, zero proof, zero compromise. Listeners can get 15% off the Recess mocktail sampler at TakeARecess.com/Kelsey. Each can is lightly sparkling mocktail infused with functional ingredients like so many stress balancing adaptogens made with real fruit and only 25 calories or less. It's a guilt-free way to unwind. Whether you're relaxing after work or hanging out with friends, make Recess mocktails your drink between drinks or, like me, your forever mocktail. I am so obsessed with the ginger lime mule and also the grapefruit paloma for spring. It's my favorite go-to weekend drink. Get 15% off Recess mocktails now at TakeARecess.com/Kelsey so you can enjoy your favorite cocktails without the consequences.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
But also, no. I can't all the way, okay? Thanks. I also put like sagging in general, which kind of teeters into the next pro and con. Pro, I seriously, and like honestly, this is maybe a little bit of a cry for help. I seriously don't mentally feel 30. I still feel 24. Like I still feel like I don't fucking know shit about adulthood, but I know a lot of other stuff, but I don't feel like I've lived 30 years mentally. And maybe that's from all the drugs and drinkies I've done, but that worries me a little bit. I said it was a pro, but now that I'm saying it out loud, it sounds like a con. But the pro is I don't feel mentally 30, which I guess is good, right? Like you want to feel young and sprightly and...
How do you describe feeling 24 versus feeling 30? Like what do you imagine feeling 30 feels like?
Feeling 30, I would feel more... I don't even know. Like I would just know more about insurance deductibles and the DOJ and history fucks me up. Like the fact that so many people know so much stuff about history, I'm like, why do we care? I get it. I get why history is important, but like, I don't know how, where people got all this history stuff from.
I mean, some people are really into history. Like,
I like Hostra history.
There are kids that like study history and get really into it and can tell you like everything about like the Constitution and like
that. Couldn't tell you what the Constitution is. I think it's the forefathers and our right to have mail.
The U.S. Constitution.
The USPS Constitution. And I put my con for this one was that while I don't feel 30 mentally and personality wise, my body feels 800 years old. My body hurts so much all the time. My knee won't heal from my fucking surgery. My jaw, as we speak, is on fire flames. Like, my body, my back, my fit. Like, I doing this RV, yeah, sure, I could wear gloves, but I don't, okay? But I have cut a different finger every single day to the point of detriment. And I'm just like, it's cut now. Move on. Like before, I would be like, oh, God, my fucking ow, blood, blah. And now I'm just like, I'm falling apart.
It's like a slow acceptance of
death.
Of death.
Like my body will fail before my brain does. 100%.
Knock on fabric.
You just knock on the cat. There's a wood table right behind you.
It's right there.
Also, my cat Larry just jumped in the frame. He's very rarely ever seen.
Yeah.
He's scary Larry. He's afraid of the scary world. Larry. This is scary Larry. Okay. Pro about turning 30 is I don't feel like I wasted my 20s at all. And even though I don't really remember a lot of it, I feel like I learned a lot. Like, I feel like at this point in life, I know what is right and what is wrong, you know?
Interesting.
Like, when it comes to a lot of things, you know, just about, like race and gender and, like, policy and, like, morality, I feel pretty certain. Why are you humming like
no,
that?
No, that's interesting. I
but
know.
It's tinged with disagreement.
It's not disagreement.
I can fucking hear it in your voice.
Well, I always find it interesting when somebody is extremely certain about something. And I want to know why, like where that comes from.
I find it really
why.
Interesting when someone says, I find it really interesting because I know that you're saying you find something really interesting because you actually believe it's wrong and you don't want to
no,
say.
No, it's not. It's not that.
Wrong.
It's literally certainty in and of itself, like as an exercise, whenever this is like some of the shit that I've like been doing, but like, and if you are certain about something, then like it's a good exercise to like look at like, what if you're not certain? Like, as, like, a way to expand
yes,
your mind.
Yes, but what if you're certain about things that are absolutely, yeah, like, this table, this couch is gray. Like, I'm certain. Then what? Am I supposed to be like, but what if it's just molecules vibrating against each other, creating a pattern that looks like color and it's not really color? Like, what about that should I not be certain about?
You do whatever you want.
All right, I will.
You live your life. I will. Was an interesting segue.
The con to that is that even though I've learned a lot, I don't have any money. Like I never had financial education in public school in Florida, and like made six figure. Okay, here's the other thing that you guys have to remember, confidants. Our cost of living is astronomically higher. So like what $10 is in Florida or, you know, the Midwest will get you nothing in Los Angeles. So you have to remember, like, a six figure salary will barely let you survive in this city. So when I'm telling you guys these numbers, like, remember, I'm telling you them as if try and scale way the fuck down depending on where you live. Or way the fuck up if you live in like Miami and New York or Chicago or something like that, or San Francisco. I don't know. What's up with Canada? I love my Canadian followers and listeners.
Canada's confidants. Dope.
Canadian confidants. let's talk about it. Money. I don't know that I've ever really broken down my finances. But again, like, I think so many people think that, like, I think a lot of my peers make a lot of money, right? Like, I look at some of my friends that are prominent figures as influencers or YouTubers or whatever you want to call them. And I'm like, they have and make money that I'm aware of. I am nowhere near that. Like, even one of my closest friends, I won't say their name, but, like, I know for a fact she has $100,000 saved. And we basically had, like, the exact same glow up. And I'm like, how? And I will be honest with my confidants. I've got, let's see, $30,000 in my retirement, 401k, Roth IRA combined. Then I've got about, that's not right. I have like $20,000 in my Roth IRA. And then my parents started a like fund for me when I was a kid. No, this is all wrong. I have $20,000 in my 401k and my Roth IRA. My parents started saving for me and my sister when we were a kid. And that amounts to like $22,000 or $19,000 or something. So I think I have like $30,000 to $40,000 in savings, which is not a lot. Like, I can't retire on that right now unless I move to Thailand. And then in my personal account, which I am a business, my personal life is a business, I have about anywhere it ranges from like $20,000 to $30,000 when I'm getting low to like, I think the highest I ever got was like $60,000 to $80,000 saved in my business account. And then like my day-to-day wages are just like, my business manager always puts like $2,000 in my account just because she knows that I'm an idiot. And so for me, it's like overall, I could just pull up my fucking sheet right here. What am I trying to guess for? Let's see. Let's go to my weekly business expenses. Okay, let's see. So in my pocket management personal, I had $4,000. Then in my Kelsey Dara Inc., which is my business, I have $27,000. And like I said, on the low end is like when I'm at like 20, 30. And this is because I just bought the RV. And it's a business expense because it's for the documentary. And then my spending, so my Amex total right now is $6,400. So really, if you minus that from $27,000, I've got about $20,100. Now here's the kicker. My upcoming jobs and outstanding invoices where people owe me money is $32,000. But I don't get all that money all at once. It's not like I'm like, hey, pay up, motherfucker. I'm not a drug dealer anymore. I left those days back in Florida. But these are things that are going to accrue over the next couple months. So saying that I like am owed $32,000, so I really have $50,000 is incorrect, because like as I live, that money will go away, especially because jobs are getting less and less and less. So realistically, I feel like I have $20,000 of my business and then probably like 30 saved. And that is like very, very, very low compared to anybody else I know. End statement.
Yeah, I think I don't know how. Well, I think for anyone, you did a good preface of like, for anyone who's living in Los Angeles and New York, that's a normal thing. But like for somebody who's in
Iowa,
yeah, that's probably a lot. Like,
oh yeah, you could buy a house. You could put a down payment on a house.
Yeah,
you can't put a down payment on a house in Los Angeles unless you have $100,000 at least.
Yeah,
Los Angeles County. It's that's like for fucking 10% of the down payment, not even 20 probably.
Yeah.
So I really don't have a lot of money. And I think it's because I never really saved until I left BuzzFeed. Like when I was making six figures, I was just living like, you know, what is that, $5,000 a month or something? It's like a little over $1,000 each and or each week. And, you know, I was not being an asshole about money. Like I flew first class and I would buy things on Amazon, or I'd online shop whenever I wanted to. And it didn't like, it didn't put me in a bad position. I always had money in the bank. So I was just like, I have it, I spend it. I want it, I got it. And I wish I would have started saving a lot earlier. And like, I'm lucky that I had my 401k. I don't believe BuzzFeed matched at all. I think they matched like 10% or something, which is fucking crazy. It's bad. Yeah. And then, thank God my parents had started a savings of Roth IRA from when I was a kid. Otherwise I would feel like I have no money. And so I think like I've read somewhere that money is like the number one stressor for women my age. And like, I 100% identify with that. I think about money every single, there's not a day that goes by that I don't think about my money.
Wow.
And I literally pay someone so that I don't have to think about my money. It's a very small percentage. It comes with the business. It's a whole thing. You guys know it's entertainment. But yeah, thoughts on that? Why am I asking you? You put your money in Bitcoin. Oh, fuck. No, you are also,
I think the only,
an interesting case of
the
money.
The only thing I would say is like, the more you think about money, like, it's important to think about money. It's important to plan out the future and to get things set up in a certain way. But after a certain period of time, like once you have your system set up and you have things, like, it's not good to think about money, because that's like, that is just brutal. It constantly stresses you out.
Like, I don't feel prepared for an emergency. Like, if something really bad were to happen, like hospital bills or something, I don't feel ready or prepared, and I would have to like ask for help from family members and stuff.
Yeah.
Stop shaking your leg. Yes, you've got like squiggly leg. Like, you keep going back and forth. Yeah, so like that, it feels like a real big con, because I see my other friends, like, they're buying like engagement rings. And I'm like, how do you just have like 10,000? I mean, I just spent $11,000 on an RV, but that's an investment. We already talked about this. But I'm like, how do you just have money to go buy a fucking piece of jewelry that's $10,000? That's insane to me. I do not have that. I'm not going to buy you an engagement ring right now, is what I'm trying to say. But I feel like, you know, some of my friends have bought houses, and I'm like, how? And I know that we've like looked, like, if we were to really combine our shit and like really like go thin on, you know, life, it's something we could do. But why stress ourselves out?
Yeah, it's a lot right now, I think, especially with COVID and everything. I mean, we have basically another house that we have. It's an RV.
If the world ends.
We got that.
Yeah, you guys can come over. So,
yeah.
Okay. A pro. I feel like I've found my forever partner, which is a fun perk. It's not necessary. You know, like, society, again, tells women that we should have like our and then other people are like, fuck men, independent forever, and some people are like, I don't even like men. And then it's like, who cares? Truly, this is more like a pro because it's a fun perk. Like, I feel like I don't have to stress about things because I have an extra support system and like an adventure buddy and like a fun time person and like a regular orgasm machine. And like, it just feels like a perk is a pro that I'm hitting 30 with. Like, I feel like meeting you, I was 27, which is crazy. I feel so young. I just turned 27. And I feel like that's, you know, like, what's a good age to meet someone? I feel like that's so stupid. But I feel like society would tell me this is a pro that we have each other at this age.
I think it's a massive pro. I think, if anything, it's like the biggest pro of my life.
Why?
It's incredible. Because having you in my life has been the best thing that has happened to me thus far.
True. I do make you better. I do make you a lot better.
I really appreciate you as a person, your company, your everything about you. And having you as a life partner is an incredible thing. It's just fun.
I agree.
It's a really fun thing.
It's like very fun to have you around.
Yeah. And like, you know, we have our differences of things that we like and a lot of different things, but
very different.
Very different people. Mm-hmm. But we still have a really great core bond that respects the other person.
Yeah.
And really appreciates what they do and like is there for them when they need them. Mm-hmm. And like, it's just like nice to know that you have somebody like that.
It's crazy that like, despite how wildly different we are, we like choose to still spend every day together. It's like, you know, some days maybe we don't think about it. We're just kind of like, oh, there's that thing again. Great. But like, it's great. Like you have a choice. And like, even though we're so different and like, we definitely have gotten in some like, not fights, because we literally don't fight. We like have intense emotional talks, but like we still, we have a choice and we choose to do this. That's like mind blowing to me. The con that I put is like, again, I know it's stupid societal stuff, but there is this like weird pressure that like everyone around us, like we were supposed to go to 4 weddings this summer and like people are announcing that they're having babies. My best friend's trying to get pregnant right now. And I'm like, what? Like, when she first told me that, I like inserted myself. I was like, are you fucking crazy? Why would you die? Like, she's ready. I'm not ready for her to have a baby. I am not ready to like lose my best friend to a baby, but she wants to have a baby. So I'm like, I got to support that. And like, when I really think about it, I'm like, oh my God, that's an amazing thing. Like, oh my God, life, they need to create a new human. But I'm like, what the fuck? I could never do that right now. Like, there's definitely this like weird societal thing about like other people doing these things that I'm not doing. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Should I be doing this? Like, am I behind? Like, I've always been a late bloomer. Like, I still don't have my tits. But there's something about this age where you're looking around and you're like, okay, I feel like I have my shit together, but why does everyone else seem to be doing something different than I am? Like, do you feel that way?
I feel like I don't think so, because I identify myself as having a different path than a lot of my friends, just as a core thing. Like my friends from college and high school and all these, like, I've just gone in a very different path. And then, you know, in the DJ world, like, I don't have very many friends that are, like, serious about things right now. So it's like, I just kind of, like, I know that my path is going to be my path, whatever that's going to be, whatever that turns into. And the pressures, the outside pressures of what other people are doing doesn't really consciously have a huge effect on me. Now, it might subconsciously, subliminally like prepared and like expecting for these things to happen because everyone else is doing it. And it's like, oh, I guess like, you know, I guess it's time to do things like that, you know.
But we've never been those people.
Yeah. I mean, at the same time, though, you look at, like, let's say, for example, getting a foster dog, right? Never thought I would get a foster dog or
any kind
of dog.
We've talked about, like, never getting a dog until we had a house and a yard.
Didn't imagine myself with it. But when we had the dog, it was incredible. It was, like, a really fun experience. We just made it happen. We made it work. Gary and Barry, great doggos.
And Spooky the cat.
Oh, wonderful. And it was just a really fun experience to do that. And I think that's kind of how
it like made us better.
Yeah.
Like, even though we dreaded like getting up earlier, or like having to take a break, it was like
responsibility. Yeah.
Yeah. It was like, oh wow, now I get to take a minute for myself. I like get to stand up and walk around, or like I get to practice focusing on something that isn't myself for a minute. Yeah. And like, I think it ultimately made us better, even in like the annoying parts of like, oh, I don't want to do this.
I would agree. I think pain and suffering towards
pain and suffering is a dog.
Yeah. But as a general rule, pain and suffering lead to more appreciation of life.
Sleep
for me.
When it's gone.
Yeah. Like I'm more grateful by living through a painful or suffer a lot through an experience, I'm more grateful coming out the other end. And
yeah.
I think that is like comfort's great and all, but I think
that like time though is the answer to that. Like I don't know what situation you're thinking of, but like for me, it's like heartbreak. I think of all the 20s heartbreaks that were like huge, that fucked me up. It sent me to rehab and broke me, almost ended my life. Like now I'm grateful for that because I know what I do and do not want. And like, I look back at that girl with just such like empathy and like, aw. I mean, half of me is like, you dumb bitch. But like the other half was like, aw. But that was years of time and healing. And so like, if I had the choice, would I have liked to be the person that I am today without having gone through that? That would be cool. But like, I guess I have more jokes to write now because I've gone through it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting what you said about like the subconscious thing, because like with women, there is like an actual real biological limit, you know, to having kids.
Mm-hmm.
And like with guys, there really isn't, right? Like you can shoot sperm until the sun goes down, right?
Yeah.
So like, for me, even though 10 years feels like a fucking 100 years right now, I also think about my 20s and I'm like, oh, whoa, that happened so fast. And like in another 10 years, am I going to be like, oh, like I missed it. Like I wonder all the time if like women like Chelsea Handler, who are so very adamant that like they did the right thing by not having kids, ever wonder like, but what would life have been? Like, I don't know. And I feel like when we first met, you were very like, we will get married and we shall have children and that will be the life. And then I was like, we're going to fuck other people and I don't believe in being a mom. And you were like, okay, I can like understand it and learn how to get with it. And like, I feel like we've now found this nice middle gray void area where we're neither here nor there. Like, I really don't know how you feel now. And I don't know that you know how you feel now about it.
Yeah. I think the more that I think about it, the more I can see myself in a fatherly role in the future somehow, but I don't want to pin it down to be like, it's going to be my kid and it's going to be my kid with you and it's going to be this and that, which I was very adamant about.
Very adamant. Yeah. You were like, I will have my genes in this world be passed on. And what like tripped me up is that whenever you talked about having kids, you always talked about like you passing your genes on.
Right.
And I was like, what about me? Like, I want you to want to have a kid because it's with me.
Yeah.
And like, that's why I would want to have a kid with someone, is because they want half of me also out in the world. But I feel like that kind of like was a little bit of mind opener for you, because that's not really how you ever thought about kids.
Yeah, I think I was very kind of not brainwashed, but like, brainwashed with like, this is how your life is supposed to go, where you have a kid and you get married and you live a life and they go to school and you have a white picket fence and you do the thing. And I think to me, what's important is like what I've noticed I get a lot of personally, like what I get a lot of joy out of is like helping someone else, like in a like mentorship or teaching type of way. So like as in like a fatherly role, that's something that I would miss if I didn't have a kid.
God, you'd be such an annoying dad.
But I think that I'm
kidding, you'd be a great dad.
Thanks. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I think that eventually there will be outlets for me to like get my fatherly like itch out.
Yeah.
That doesn't require having a child, you know? Like,
yeah.
I don't know how. I have no idea how, but I'm keeping an open mind.
More foster dogs. I feel like with me as a woman, especially turning 30, I feel like, and it's something I'm trying to shed, is like, I've read this one funny tweet once that was like, white girls are having marriage just so they can have one day where finally Timmy has to express his love for her publicly. And I like laughed so hard because I was like, oh man, growing up, that's like, I think what I wanted was like this big declaration of like foreverhood with someone. And like when I get that from you all the time every day and it feels so personal, I'm like, I got to shed that. And like now I look at that and I laugh because I'm like, oh man, so many girls probably really do find that. And like probably same with guys where it's like, I found the hottest, best, most sandwich making woman I can find. Like I'm sure men feel that way too, but there's something still lingering, which is why I'm glad I have a birthday every year, because there's something still lingering that's like, I'm waiting for the next like level of our love.
Interesting.
Like the next milestone. And it's not like time, because actually for women, like the more time without there being some big thing is like, oh God, they've been together 6 years and he hasn't popped the question. Like, yikes. So it's actually like, it's not time. It's more just like something big that needs to happen. And that's why I think it's like, I'm glad I'm having a birthday, because I'll get a lot of attention and then I'll be okay for another 11 months. And then I'll probably start to feel a little bit like, oh God, everyone around me is judging like my, I don't know. And no one's thinking about me. That's the point of this episode, is no one's fucking thinking about you the way you're thinking about yourself. But like, I don't know. You probably.
Is that in your book? I feel like you have that in
your
book.
Yes, it is. But like, but I'm sure guys don't feel that. Like, are you waiting for some like proclamation declaration from me to like level up our relationship ever? Exactly.
If anything, I feel the constant pressure to always like make some big
grand gesture.
Grand gesture. Yeah.
That's like totally.
Yeah. I think that's definitely a
societal pressure.
Well, also, you just said that you need that.
Well, that's why I say I'm glad I have a birthday.
Yes.
And if you have to plan one freaking big gesture a year, like, fuck you. You can do it. I'm worth it.
Well, we also, we are in the beginning of our relationship, like, we were able to do these grand gestures so easily because, like, I had gigs we could just fly to and, like, have fun at and, like, have
not
these,
fair,
like,
normal.
It was not normal.
We had, like, huge romantic adventures.
Yeah.
Like, ski chalets, Barcelona, like.
We also have just been cooped up for a while.
Yeah.
So I think a nice little trip or vacation or celebration might be nice.
Was that a little hint?
I don't know.
A little trip? Did you give away a little bit? He's closing his eyes because he doesn't want to give away anything.
No.
Interesting. Nope. Some time.
Change the subject.
You guys, we've been going for a little over an hour. I thought this was going to be a short one this week, but that's it. And I hope you guys enjoyed this. Please, please, please mark in your calendars August 16th. Don't fucking panic. It will be out for pre-sale. You're going to see that all over my social medias, I'm sure. Don't forget to check out Justice for Soraya. We're also still taking RV donations, by the way. That has nothing to do with the GoFundMe or the change.org. That is like completely separate. We're trying to get the RV in enough shape where it can drive far enough. So there's tons of equipment, tons of stuff to make it comfortable. If you want that, DM me. I'm so appreciative of anyone that's fucking bought anything. It blows my fucking mind that anybody cares. I'm so in love with you, confidants. I hope you have a fantastic, my body, my mouth wants to say something with an S.
With an S.
Sextastic
sexual
week.
Weekend.
We haven't had sex in a while. We should probably have sex.
Yeah.
Speaking of you, I love you. Thank you for doing this.
You're welcome.
You're my favorite person.
You're my favorite person.
And thanks for being here.
I will.
And talking about being 30.
Absolutely.
And don't forget to give this 5 stars on iTunes. Make sure that you go to confidentlyinsecurepodcast@gmail.com and make us an email. Go to @confidentlypod on Instagram and Twitter. And we, yes?
No, 5 stars.
Oh, 5 stars. Yeah. Okay. I had my eyes closed. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.